I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Pete, as part of this series, we always ask our guests what their favourite sports book is. Can you tell us what your choice is?
I had a short list which I sent you, and a couple of them got shot down because you've already had other people talking about them, which was very disappointing, but I had listened to those episodes and I knew that. So I picked one which I imagine very few, if any, of your listeners have even heard of, let alone read, but it's by Peter Fitzsimons, who's an Australian international rugby player who became a journalist who is now a very famous broadcaster, and as well, he's also a military historian now, hugely successful in Australia. But I was going out to New Zealand in 1999 on my gap year and arrived in Auckland Airport, and I saw this book, which is Fitzsimons on Rugby, Loose in the Tight Five, which is a collection of his articles, and I picked it up. And I'd always been kind of obsessive about rugby autobiographies and football autobiographies and cricket autobiographies from about my mid-teens. I also, at that stage in my life, was watching Super Rugby and Tri Nations Rugby, and I'd get up at, like, you know, 5:30 in the morning on a Saturday morning and start the 3 or 4 games of Super Rugby that they'd show on Sky and do the same with the Tri Nations when it came on. And I absolutely loved it. But this book opened my eyes in a different way to Southern Hemisphere rugby than I'd ever considered it before. You can get it on Amazon, this book, and I just recommend it massively. Like, even just for the chapter that he's written on Mark Ella is just brilliant. And it started a kind of obsession for me with Mark Ella and his brothers Glenn and Gary, and their time at Matraville High School, which they were at school with Eddie Jones, England coach. And following, you know, then they went on from, they were this school on the kind of wrong side of the tracks in Sydney, poor, but they played this incredible brand of rugby that revolutionized rugby. This is schoolboys. And they took on the best teams in Australian schoolboy rugby and they beat them all, and they were just unbelievable. And the core of that team went on to play for Randwick, one of the great Sydney clubs, and became the core of the 1984 Wallabies team, which went on a Grand Slam tour of the UK and just played this phenomenal brand of rugby. And then that core went on to win the 1991 Rugby World Cup. And I just kind of fell in love with this whole story, and then from that, different aspects of Southern Hemisphere rugby. And it's just a brilliant, just short articles, brilliant book. It's nuanced, intelligent, it's very funny. And I think that was the difference as well, was you read all these autobiographies from the 1980s and 1990s, and they're all pretty dry, you know, not many really funny anecdotes. And this thing is just funny all the way through. It's brilliant. So, you know, I've kind of always wanted to emulate that kind of writing, and I never even got close, but I don't think many people get close to Peter Fitzsimons and the way he writes. But yeah, I'd really recommend it.
It was interesting, I was looking into his background a little bit, and he seems to be quite a renowned journalist, or has been certainly over the last maybe 30 years in Australia. So he obviously brought a kind of journalistic flair to this, by the sound of it, because the way you're describing it is quite shorter, sharper, really kind of peppy articles in this book, is that right?
Exactly. It was actually a brilliant... There's a foreword to the book by Nick Farr-Jones, who is the Wallaby captain in the 1991 World Cup, but also 4 words from Sean Fitzpatrick. And at the front, it just says, "Good luck, exceptional writer." And that's exactly, he's just a brilliant, brilliant writer. It's pithy. If you know, in the times of, the impact of COVID-19 on sport is just astonishing. And it's just this complex web which we're trying to find our way through. And in rugby, it's really on the edge, struggling financially because of everything that's going on. And they're trying to find new ways to restructure the season and make it a global season, and what they can do and how can they bring through the kind of what they call currently second tier but or tier two nations, but they're, you know, they're going to kind of rebrand it all, I hope. And but if you go back in this book and we talk about the articles about the professional, when rugby turned professional in 1995, and just this war that happened between Rupert Murdoch and Kerry Packer, who had two ideas for how rugby was going to be broadcast and run, and just rereading that stuff is fascinating. Peter did another book called The Rugby War, I think it was called. But he covers some of it here in this book. And it's just an amazing look back on how the game could have been. And then so many of the questions that were being asked then are still unanswered. And in fact, you know, even more relevant now that we're, you know, 25 years later. And these problems still exist. And the game has still got huge issues around broadcasting rights and money and the losses all these clubs make every year and the nation and the, and, you know, how Test rugby props up the whole thing and the World Cup props that up again. And but yeah, so it's he's a brilliant writer, and he writes about it so lucidly, and you can, it's a great introduction to that if you want to look into it.
I love books that kind of stand the test of time, you know, that just captures a certain moment, and then you can read it 20, 25 years on and you've still got lessons that you can take from it into the present day. I think that's almost one of the acid tests of truly great writing, that.
Absolutely. I think that's what we all strive for. Certainly when you're looking at publishing and the books that we've done, that's always the thing that's in the back of my mind, is aspects of it are going to be irrelevant within a few months because of the nature of sport and how it changes constantly. And certain achievements obviously grow in the minds of people after, like, years later, but on the whole it's just moving one thing to the next. But I always want to try and make sure the books, where possible, have this timelessness to them, and you're not always dependent on the following season's results to meet the book, for the book to be successful. And then, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, that is the acid test for great sports writing, is that it can, you can just dip back into it years and years later and it's still as fresh and relevant and evocative of that time.